Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series, called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. I have two guests with me today, Dr. Suzanne Gutt from the Department of Primary Education and Dr. Martin Musumeci from the Department of Math, Science and Technology Education at the Faculty of Education here at the University. Welcome to you both. Here together today because you've both been working on a European project called EBLIPS, and I gather that it involves the implementation of European dimension by peer learning in primary school. Dr. Gutt, perhaps you could explain something about the origins of the project.
Actually, this is a project which has emerged from another project, which is called STIPS, which was in science education. But a number of us who were working in the first project decided to get together and work on this second project. We are five partners. It is coordinated by Germany, the Pädagogische Hochschule. It's difficult to say these Karl Huse, right? From Germany, and we have partners from UK, Greece, the Czech Republic, and us from University of Malta. The idea was to use this concept of peer learning, which we were using in the other project for science, but here we wanted to use this same concept of peer learning, where peer learning, we understand how learners learn from other learners. So we are talking about, since we're working for primary children, primary school children in Malta with other primary school children across Europe, teachers in primary schools with other teachers in other schools across Europe, and also teachers with students and students from teachers. And the idea this time was to try and use this method of learning to promote an understanding of the different European cultures. Many of the partners come from a background in geography, so they are interested in trying to promote innovative ways of teaching about the different countries rather than just use the traditional map, and because understanding that there are different countries is not only a question of knowing where Italy or Germany or Greece is on the map. And Martin and I actually are from the science point of view, because we have actually tackled geography and science are very close, and we've tackled issues, as Martin will probably discuss later on, about weather and different cultures. Basically, that's the main aim. The project is funded by the European Commission. It's a Comenius II project. As a Comenius II project, this means that we are involved in developing teacher training material. So we do activities to understand and research the way children work with teachers. And the ultimate output of the project is teacher material. Usually, out of the whole project, we develop training courses, which we could then put on the Comenius database and offer these training courses after the completion of the project for teachers to apply for grants to attend.
And this was a project, as you said, that sort of was born from a previous project. These are people with whom you've set up a relationship, a good working relationship.
Yes, usually one thing about projects is very important that you are careful who you choose to work with. Once you find good partners, the tendency is to look for new ideas and to work with new partners, but not always the same group. So you always have some new blood, some different contacts, but some people whom you keep on working with. And sometimes it happens that people tell you, as I've been telling my colleagues abroad at the moment. Sorry, I'm at the moment very busy, so I will have to pass on your idea. I like it a lot, but it's not possible, just not possible for me to participate.
I don't know about Comenius II in particular, but sometimes these projects actually require that there should be countries involved that are in different geographical areas of Europe.
Usually a good project proposal does require partners to be as possibly distributed across Europe. So if you have a partnership from all Eastern Europe, it wouldn't be a strong partnership. So that's why in our case there's Malta and Greece, and then you have the Czech Republic and Germany, and then from the other end you have UK. So it is quite a distribution of countries.
And in this particular project, it would be extremely important that there was a difference in the geographical areas.
Yes, definitely, because what we're interested in is in developing ways of helping kids learn about the cultures and the different countries in a not innovative way.
Dr. Musumeci, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about how the project was put together from the practical point of view.
Yes. First of all, we got together. Physically, we got together in one place. And the first meeting was staged in Malta, January 1.5 years ago, 2 years ago. And then every 6 months, roughly, we meet in the different countries. Then we went to Karlsruhe in Germany, then to Lincoln in the UK, and recently, just at the beginning of November, we had a meeting in the Czech Republic in Brno. We have an extra meeting. In fact, they liked Malta so much that they want to come back here. During these meetings, it's not a holiday at all, because we usually start work from 9 till 6:37 in the afternoon, right, with just a lunch break and loads of coffee, standing by to keep us alert anyway. So we have an extra meeting, and then we'll have the last meeting in Greece next summer, practically, to wind up the project. Anyway, during these meetings, first of all, we see where we are and where we're going to. Apart from that, we discuss things that would be on the agenda to see how we're going to produce things, to go forward and assess ongoing research or data that's coming in order to produce what we have to produce at the end. For example, when we met in Malta, we started with the first steps to project. As Suzanne said, the intention is that people learn from peers, from other people, teachers from teachers, children from children, both in their class and in other classes across countries, right? And also the interaction between the teachers and the kids, or vice versa. And so we said, first thing, let's ask the teachers to do a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, a short PowerPoint presentation about themselves. Imagine that you have some sort of audience, whoever that would be, but you want to introduce yourself to other people. Naturally, this wasn't published across the net that everyone can see it, but they knew that the other teachers from the other countries were to see it, and even possibly the kids. Some of us in the project have already used this material in their teaching training courses. For example, the Germans have already, I know that they have already started using them during their lectures and their seminars, their discussions to show how this interaction can take place with these children. Then we ask the children to produce two PowerPoint presentations. One, the theme was a day at school and a day at home, so that across nations people see how similar they are, because at the end we saw that we're all very similar, what we do every day, what we do at school, etc. But the difference is that there are two. I mean, from simple things like we have a gymnasium at school, we don't have a gymnasium at school. We have 50 rooms in our school, we have 10 rooms in our schools. You know, I mean, these simple things, but children start discovering from each other that people are different, but they are very similar in many ways. Once that came in, because naturally we told everyone to send us their feedback, right? Then we started analyzing what's coming out of that. First of all, we're going to produce this teacher training pack to we're going to produce these things, the teacher introducing ourselves, the school, one day in my life, the school, etc., and we have others we'll mention later. And we have these different chapters which can be used as teaching materials. Naturally, people can add on to them. Rather, they are encouraged to add on to them. This is the starting point, the launching pad for further development. This was done with a teacher and a class, a primary class. We're tackling 8 to 10 year olds practically, a primary school class in every country. So each country, us, we have a teacher who is sort of running the actual project in the school. The Germans have one, the English have one, the Greeks have one, and the Czechs have one. And then we pull everything together and we analyze from there. The most recent thing that we asked the schools to do was a questionnaire about the weather, right? Naturally, it's not at the level of university level thing, but questions like we gave a page, literally a page, one sheet to the children, a sort of short questionnaire. What is the weather like in your country? What do you think the weather is like in Germany? Because we found out from previous questionnaires with the children that there might be many misconceptions about what the other children do in other countries, or how they are, or how they live, or how their houses are, or how their schools are.
One thing I find interesting is that your teachers from different countries, all with different training backgrounds, all right, I'm sure you all went to university and did education at university level, but did you find that when you got together as partners, there were problems about, or disagreements about how the pedagogy should be affected with the children, or did you find more or less that at the European level there was a sort of an agreement about how you should go about going into the schools and dealing with the children?
No, there are many common factors, let's face it, because one thing that we do when we're doing our meetings in different countries, we always dedicate one day to tour, to go through the school that is participating with the in the project. Now in Malta, we have St. Monica Gzira participating, right? So we went to a school in the Czech Republic, in Germany, etc. I mean, the most factors are very similar. But then there might be factors like when we analyzed, for example, the presentations by the teachers, there were, and here the cultural side and the social mores that are accepted or less accepted come in. We're very wary of giving personal data, like I am 26 years old, I am married, I live in a one-bedroom flat, whatever, right? Which is very much the personal sphere. How personal it is, it depends on the likes and dislikes of the person at the end. And we had some discussions, even from the feedback that came from the German students to the through the German representative, that some of her students during their seminar said, we wouldn't have said this much as the teacher from that particular country said, for example. Right, what is accepted, there are personal overtones here too, but what might be accepted very much in a country to say, and it's sort of for public consumption, might not be acceptable in other, even with the children, how they tackled their village or where they live. Taking for example Malta, when we here, being our school that is participating, having children coming from different villages, different towns. So we couldn't do our town because everyone of them have. So we did our country practically, even though our country is smaller than most of their towns. But if you go to the Lincoln kids, for example, they did their sweet shop, they did their police station, they did their church. With us, we did the megalithic temples, although the dimensions perhaps are smaller than theirs, but there are other things that come in. And it's interesting when you compare and contrast things, you get many differences which are subtle in many ways. They're not differences which make us sort of diametrically opposite or very different, but they're subtle according to the context.
At this point, I'd just like to remind listeners that this is Research Matters, and I'm Patricia Camilleri, and I'm talking to Dr. Suzanne Gatt and Dr. Martin Muzumeci. Dr. Muzumeci, of some of the content that you actually received back, or when you got the information back from the schools, what did you sort of do with it then? You met again and discussed it, or you compared it?
We told all the teachers to do. First thing that we assigned practically, we told all the teachers that are participating in each country to produce a personal presentation. Then we told them, go to your classes, tell the kids we want two presentations. By the way, we opted for PowerPoint presentations because it was one of the easiest ways how to transmit, because they could have produced charts or drawings or whatever, but how can you transmit that to the Czech school? Okay, you can scan them, whatever, but then you have sizes and whatever. So we said the best thing, and everyone went through that, the best thing was to present a PowerPoint presentation today with digital photography. It's quite
straightforward. But it was presuming that everybody had access to
Yes, definitely. IT. Yeah, definitely. First, we saw that everyone has access to at least a computer and the software, etc. Right, definitely. Then we gave two teams, as I said before, to be developed. One day at school, one day at home, which are normal, run-of-the-mill things for everyone. One day at school, they spend days at school, and they spend days at home. And In our meeting in Lincoln, right, last around a year and a half ago, we got back these questionnaires about these and the accompanying PowerPoint presentations, and we went through to see, first of all, to see what factors were put in, were included in these PowerPoint presentations, because children from a certain country stressed one thing, others stressed another, many said much of the same thing. You know, it starts at 8 till 2, we play this, we play that, or whatever. But you start getting sort of certain indications across the board. Many people many children thought that schools in Germany are big, while schools in Greece are small, or in the Czech Republic. Somehow it comes out, whatever, because it wasn't only some children in Malta, because it came out from the Greek children, from the whatever, or schools in Germany are clean, while schools in another country, not to mention, some people thought they aren't clean, which isn't the case, but you get these misconceptions, right? Or else they thought, some children thought that people in Greece are black, for example, right? Or people in the Czech Republic are colored, right? Which is, we're talking about 7, 8, 9 year olds. And you get these misconceptions. One of the things such courses about, eventual courses about the European dimension, need to produce this amalgamating sort of substance, call it what you like, that should get the people of Europe together and to understand each other and understand that we're diverse, but at the end we're not that diverse at all.
In the example you've just given, I would say there's a difference between misconception and stereotype, because before we were discussing going beyond the stereotype, but that is really a misconception.
Definitely. So there's the conception that Germany is, everything is perfect, big, beautiful, etc. While in Mediterranean countries is less, for example, with the northern people. But all right, as we're saying, it's misconceptions. Next stage, because it's the next thing that we're delving into, is going to the social sphere too, because the next presentation that we're going to ask them revolves around Christmas. They should be doing it now in these coming weeks, right? To see how people celebrate Christmas in similar ways and in different ways from country to country. Because let's take the simple things. When do we usually give presents to the children? On Christmas Day, on Christmas Eve, or the day after? I mean, in January, some day in January. I mean, starting from there, what they do, what they don't do, etc., etc. So that's, we move personal, right, personal, social, even physical environment to try to get a picture of the whole situation.
You're also dealing with, as you said, the geography was a sort of almost a leitmotif Or let's say image.
Geography considered in the widest sense of the word. I mean, as a concept, but as wide as you can imagine, right?
And when the material is put together in this book, I presume, a publication that you're going to do, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to publish it, disseminate it? Who are you aiming it at? Who are you hoping to give it to? In whose hands would you like this book to be at the end of the day?
We're actually working on it. We already have about 2 chapters and a bit, right? I'm proofreading through most of it. We have a deadline to satisfy, that is by September next year. It must be bound and ready for distribution. We're going to produce this book, this pack, call it what you like, but it is going to be physically as a book with most probably a pen drive and CD, so that we have also the software there that teachers can use, write these presentations that we have, etc., as exemplars or as starting points for discussion, or in whichever way they deem most fit. So this book, which we're going to produce quite a number of, so that it's distributed in all these countries that are participating, right? That is us in Germany, in the Czech Republic, and in Greece, because recently, for unfortunately, the UK partners have withdrawn. They did practically half the project with the rest of the group now for other reasons they withdrew. Anyway, and we're going to distribute it to schools, definitely. The intention is for teachers to use, because these are teacher packs, sort of teacher training stuff. And we're going to distribute it for free to schools and to libraries, etc., where teachers can access it.
Dr. Gatt, perhaps I could ask you this question. It seems a Eurocentric project, really, when you're discussing things like perhaps Christmas or social mores within the European Union countries. Here you're focusing on your partner countries, but I'm sure this can be extrapolated as information for the rest of the European Union. In these days of multiracial societies that we have, could this perhaps become a bit of a political issue, the idea that one is trying to put forward a European dimension within primary schools?
We actually discussed, I remember, in the first meeting, what this European dimension is. But at the end of the day, if we don't promote a European dimension, probably wouldn't have got the funding. But the understanding, at least amongst us, within the partners, is, as Martin has been putting forward, that we are Europeans, and the richness in being a European is actually our diversity. Now, appreciating that Germany is different from Malta, and Malta is different from UK and from Greece, this doesn't really take away also that even Maltese culture is becoming very quickly multicultural, and England is multicultural. So in trying to integrate these different cultures together, it's actually what makes us European. Really, we agree that there isn't really one dimension, which is the European dimension, but the European dimension is actually this diversity of cultures, this richness of cultures that we should keep and we should value across Europe, and we shouldn't use them to make us different, but we just need to learn how to understand each other, as although we are European, but we are also different in the ways we do, and as you asked previously, whether we have difficulties in the difference in the different approaches. Actually, yes, we do have sometimes, you know, quite heated discussions and differences, but at the end of the day, what comes out is very rich, because you have the input of so many different perspectives and ways of doing things. So really, the European dimension reflects more this promotion, I think, even within the European Commission, that they dedicate a lot of money for us to work with other people across Europe to understand each other. because in working with other people of other cultures helps us understand the way they work and brings us closer without making us the same.
I may add something, because we had not a heated but quite a lengthy discussion on this, about this Christmas, whether to give them Christmas or not to the children. For example, Germany, as everyone knows, they have quite a large Turkish community who have their, they don't have their Christmas as ours, but they have, I learned a month ago that they have their, what they call sugar feast, which they still have their sweets or whatever, like our children, they still celebrate and go shopping, whatever, but it's not Christmas, but it's something else, right? So apart from sort of inter-country diversity, in most countries nowadays we have intra-country diversities too, which we must understand and we must come to terms too. And the first thing that we must do is understand what the other one is doing and is saying before we try to have the whole picture.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, Dr. Suzanne Gart and Dr. Martin Musumeci, for coming on the program to talk about your European project Eclipse.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.